Tonight, we're tackling a topic that's quite heavy and sensitive, eh?
Yeah, we are talking something that no one is allowed to admit they're struggling with, especially in the church.
Especially
in the church. And this problem is so big that the people behind it actually know that their best market is the church.
Really?
Yes, because they know that the only way you actually get out of this problem is by admitting that you have a problem so someone can get involved to help you out.
Mm.
But in the church, we've set up things in a way that no one can admit. So the fact that they can't admit means they will stay customers for longer.
In case you're wondering what the topic is, it comes with an age restriction. So if there's anyone under the age of 18, well, either close their ears or ask them to excuse themselves. But it is a topic that probably also affects under 18s.
Yes.
And way over 18s up until probably the eldest person you may know. And this is the topic of pornography.
Yes, my brother. Sadly for us here in South Africa, the age of exposure, the average age of exposure to pornography in South Africa is between the ages of 8 and 12
eight.
Years. 8. And this might sound shocking to you guys. Maybe the listeners thinking, what? No ways. In our time, you had to be 13 and all of that. But remember, in our time, you had to find a physical magazine hidden somewhere.
Mm.
And back in the day, the exposure age was in the teenagers. So between your 13 to 18.
Mm.
But right now, the magazine has become the phone. And every time you give a child a phone that does not have a filter, you are giving them a magazine with one page that could open onto something that is adult content.
Sure. And for those who are wondering what we are talking about, it is pornography, but there's also this thing of, you know, we need to understand what we're talking about.
Yes.
We need to understand the history, the origin. And when we're researching this topic, one of the things which for me was amazing, the start as well as how it progressed.
Yes.
The fact that the word pornography, it means something that you would not even think of. It's writing about prostitutes. So
wow.
Ponere is prostitute, and then the word graphy, then it's writing. So how it started is the people who started it were writing about the experiences with prostitutes.
Mm.
And then as time went on and evolution went on, it then changed to them drawing images. And then there were images that were captured with the invention of the camera. Then people started taking images.
Mm.
I mean, this thing dates as far back as the 15th century, in the 1500s.
Wow.
Right? And then around the 1800s, that's when things like magazines then started being generated and more explicit images started coming.
Mm.
Now, when the magazines, as you alluded to, came in, another aspect then came in, and with the color, you know, being able to print in color, then you started having all sorts of different magazines. And then moving forward from there, then there was the recordings. Obviously, with the recordings, then things started getting much bigger. And for them, it became more exciting that they have this avenue that they can explore. But also that meant that more and more people tended to have access to it.
Mm.
Now, do you remember the VHS cassettes?
Yes, I remember the VHS.
And the video players.
Yes.
Yeah. So even with that, things started even evolving even deeper.
Mm.
There was now access. It got worse with the internet.
Yes.
As much as internet has been a blessing, but then when it comes to pornography, internet just made it worse. Mm-hmm. The industry grew so much.
Mm-hmm.
you know, that we now find ourselves where we at with the evolution then of smartphones and us being able to access internet on our phones. I don't know now with uncapped Wi-Fi.
You know what, South Africa sits globally as the top 20 consumer of pornography.
Shoo.
Yeah, that when you look at the statistics, it should scare us, because we already have a problem as a country. We're the only country in the world that has the rape and abuse statistics of a country at war.
Yeah.
So imagine taking that environment and adding pornography to it. You know, so when I sit here, I've been strongly involved in advocating against pornography, to a point where there's a time when one of the channels, I won't mention their name, but they shut down. They wanted to open a 24-hour channel for South Africa. And we actually went to ICASA and we opposed it. We lobbied with a lot of different groups. But I learned during that time, pornography is about money.
Mm.
Money talks.
Mm.
You can come, you can do whatever you want, but they generate funds in such a way that if we don't organize ourselves, first of all, not just as the church, but as parents, this is a major battle, because they are trying to expose children as young as possible.
Sure.
Now, we're living in a time and age where you need communication with your children. So one of the first things you're going to buy your child in life, as soon as they need to be away from you, will be a phone. And that is where, unfortunately, most of the exposure is taking place. In the counseling space, we've had parents call us for help for children who were in creche, because the one child was exposed to it, maybe from the older brothers. And I'm talking young age.
Yeah.
So maybe an 8-year-old will expose a 5-year-old who now knows how to go to it and takes it to school. And suddenly you've got a group of preschoolers experimenting what they're seeing in the phone. So it's not a small thing. But every parent, unfortunately, believes it's not their child.
Sure. You know, I can't remember whether it was this week or last week, but I think it was this week. Zinhle Twala in the morning, he was doing a slot about transport.
Yes.
That one lady called and said her son has been traveling with older children.
Yes.
And in the transport, the things that they talked about, they exposed her younger child to those things, which were toxic and just way too early and too irrelevant for the child.
Yes.
Now imagine when those older children are watching or engaging in those kind of things in the school transport to and from school, and then they're exposing your child. It just becomes something else that you cannot even control. And now you also bring in the issue of parents in tackling porn. But we're also making the assumption that the parent themselves, they are not addicted to porn.
And this is where it gets complicated. Because remember, if a parent is listening to us right now, parent, please don't switch off, because we're not here to condemn. You know, I personally am someone who I believe I'll be a long-term person who has to protect himself from pornography, because I struggled with it for a very long time.
Mm.
You know, so even now on my phone, I've got something that helps me to block.
Yes.
You know, because I had to accept, you know, when we approach different topics, let's say alcohol. You know, we will tell an alcoholic or an ex-alcoholic, you know, stay away from bars, certain environments.
Places that will be triggers.
Yes. But when we are dealing with pornography, what we want is to lay hands on a person, pray, and then it's gone forever. Now, unfortunately, any neuroscientist will tell you that this thing becomes a job that has been worked into your brain. It's a way of thinking. It's a dependence that you've built. So if you really want to get out of it, it has to be a long-term fight. Don't come and say, okay, what's the quick thing that I can do? It's a lifestyle change.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle change. But the first step is admitting that it's happening. Because my brother, I know even people listening now, hearing me say this out, is probably a shock to you. Like, what can someone actually admit openly as a Christian, you know, as a pastor, you know, as someone in the counseling space, as someone who's married? Yes, we need, not only should we admit to it, we should know that anything that's still in the dark, that's not brought to the light, cannot be dealt with.
You know, when you touched on the neurological part, I did some digging onto this topic, and I found it very interesting that things like your hormones are involved, things like your oxytocin, your dopamine. So whenever you see an image or that's pornographic, it's sexual in nature, but then it tends to evoke something in you. And then there's that innocence. Once you've breached that barrier of innocence, now you're curious about it, even more so when somebody's showing you and they're excited over it. So then your curiosity gets the better of you. But then what actually happens in your mind is that there's that release of dopamine.
Yes.
And that gives you that excitement. And with that excitement, there's even more than that tends to happen. And then you find yourself going back into it. You're trying to feed that dopamine rush. And when you juxtapose pornography and having sex or being intimate in marriage, is that with pornography, it's just you. And in the end of it, there's those feelings usually of guilt and shame.
Yes.
Whereas when you're having sex in marriage, it's after the act, there's that element of bonding. Because then you're that hormone of oxytocin is released. So all of us want that rush,
yes,
right? And with that rush, it gets us to bond. But when you're alone, you don't have anyone to bond with because you were doing it alone and in secret. So neurologically, the scientists are also able to explain what happens to you. And it's also equated to, you know, being addicted to drugs.
Yes.
And as you're addicted to drugs, again, you always keep going for the rush.
Yes.
You start out with the small thing, with the light one. But then as time goes by, what do? You increase. Yeah, I'm used to it. It doesn't do anything for me.
You need more to get the same level of satisfaction.
Exactly.
Yes.
So with that, you keep going for more. And you find that your searching habits become more sadistic.
Yes.
Or even more worse than before. And that's what scientists are able to explain around the issue of pornography and the addiction.
You know, they say pornography is more addictive than cocaine because of the accessibility. Remember, if you're addicted to cocaine, if you wanted to access it, the first thing you're going to have to do is have money to buy it. Then you're going to need a supplier. And then somehow there needs to be a transaction that takes place. Pornography doesn't have that barrier. All it needs is you, your phone, or whatever else where you can access it.
Yeah.
But it can be in and out of the room without anyone ever knowing that it was there. You know, and when you work in the spaces, you'll hear people talking about the addiction reaching a place where at work they were taking time out to watch pornography. You understand? So the accessibility aspect is really the biggest problem. And this is why we cannot afford to create an environment where no one can admit that there is a problem. So if you're listening right now and you're in South Africa and we rank top 20, someone listening right now would be part of the top 20 that is watching. So I've been a bit afraid of how we've approached the conversation of pornography. You know, we've wanted a healed church. that does not ever admit that they were sick. You understand? Hey. So now how do we bring
a healed church that doesn't want to admit that they were ever sick?
Yo. So how does the doctor then give you a prescription? So when you go to a doctor, you have to say, this is the problem.
Mm.
And without judgment, the doctor doesn't say, hey, how did you get this flu?
Mm.
They want to know, what are the symptoms? What are you dealing with? Where? How? How long? You know, do we need antibiotics? What's the level of the problem? But we've created an environment where everyone is okay. So no one speaks about the problem. And unfortunately, when there's a man, I've forgotten his name, but he came out of the pornography industry, and he actually explained that they would get a company to pause as a middleman to buy the emails of churches.
Oh.
So that they can send links to the church members.
Innocently they click.
Innocently they click and they are hooked. Now they said they knew that it worked better with the church, because when you can't speak about it, you're going to stay longer. You understand? So it's not just a sin issue. We can't just make it a sin issue. We have to know that there's an industry here that is targeting us. And not just targeting us, it's targeting our children. So if we admit there's a problem, you know, if we can admit to ourselves that there's a problem, and sometimes it's not directly your child, but your child has to interact with other children.
Mm.
You get me, my brother? There's no isolation on this planet. Unless you want to go live on a rock, you and your family.
I'm also thinking of, you know, when you talk about your child or a child that they engage with. There's someone who's listening now. Their spouse is addicted to porn and they don't know it.
Yes.
So much so that the addiction has become so out of control that the marital bed is cold.
Yes.
That, you know, there would be intimate, but beyond the intimacy, there's still that need to fulfill that gap. You know, and those are the things that are not often spoken about.
Yes, brother. Unfortunately, this is not even a male problem. Someone's listening and thinking, yeah, husbands, no. In the counseling space, we've experienced that it's both men, it's men and women. And the enemy finds a way to take advantage of gaps in our marriages.
Mm.
You know, we're also coming out of a very confusing time where intimacy is promoted outside of marriage. Once you get married, it's suddenly a chore. Yeah, I hear you.
Yes.
Before you married, it's independence, it's freedom. And once you get married, it's a chore. Yeah, this husband's always wanted and all of that. So already there's a problem in the messaging in our culture, which now creates a gap. Now, if your partner cannot admit already that they came in with that problem, maybe they were hoping that in their marriage, the intimacy will cure that problem, not knowing that, okay, now they find themselves. Unfortunately, human beings are not like machines. One of the strongest addiction problems with porn is pornography always says yes. Hey. In a marriage, there's negotiation.
Hey.
There's time, there's space, there's season.
I want us next time to really talk about that. But continue.
So we have to sit down and ask ourselves a very important question. Do we want to be healed? Because if we do want to be healed, we'll have to admit to the problem. You know, and once we can admit that there is a problem, then we can take the necessary steps to get help. So I'm not even sitting here saying, hey, go tell your partner or don't tell your partner. I'm not there yet. The first step is, can you admit to yourself
yes.
that there is a problem and that you need help?
Actually, first, Can you admit that despite what everybody else normalizes, porn is a problem?
Come on now.
And once you, because here's the thing, when something is toxic, when something is wrong, and most people are doing it, they will find a way, instead of dealing with it, they will find a way of bringing everybody into the pit,
yes,
and then saying, this is normal, this is okay. Mm. It's okay for children to just walk around half naked. It's okay for
the elder
people, to all older people also, grown-ups to also walk around showing off certain parts of their bodies, because it's liberation, they're free, it's normal. Hey, come on guys, just get with the program. And so what is wrong then becomes normalized.
Yes.
And when it's normalized, but what I love about it is that everybody else can normalize it, even if it's wrong. But when you're alone, hey, the Holy Spirit, because we all have the spirit the of
consciousness,
God in
us, yes,
Holy Spirit says it's still wrong.
We're going now into a space where the human experience is being dictated by the world and no longer the church, you know, no longer the Holy Spirit. And a lot of us have become cold, you know, our spirit man has become cold, and we are accepting things that are not acceptable. You know, starting from sexuality, going into liberties.
Yes.
You know, everyone has an argument today. In fact, you actually go to counselors and psychologists who will even recommend pornography.
Yes.
To certain married couples. And we have to go back and say, is this acceptable? Do I see this as right?
Right.
You know, there's a scripture that really I bring into the picture when talking about pornography, because it says, for the things I will not do, I do.
Romans 7.
And the things I will not to do, that I do. That's what I do. And if I do the things that I will not to do, then it's sin working in me, causing me to. You know, so you have to know, just because the desire is there does not mean it's right.
Mm-mm.
Just because everyone's doing it does not mean it's normal.
And it doesn't make it right either.
Doesn't make it right.
You know, our parents used to say, just because everybody's jumping off a cliff, will you also jump?
That's it.
So even with this, no matter how people may normalize it, it is still not right. And these days, my relationship with the Holy Spirit has grown so much that whenever somebody asks me, is this right? Is this wrong? I don't want to be the one who becomes the authority in their life. And I always say to them, what does the Holy Spirit say to you?
So next time we come back, we are going to go from admitting there's a problem to how do we begin to prepare ourselves for dealing with this problem called pornography.
Definitely. This has been Denny Vambili, my big brother, and Zibuse Elkunene on Impact 103. This is God in the Picture. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Good night.